Welcome to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We hope you will be encouraged and challenged today as you listen to a message from one of our speakers. Prepare your heart and get ready to receive a word from God today.
We're going to be in Psalm 23 today. Even if you've not been around the Bible much, you may have heard of Psalm 23. It's the psalm that begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." If you haven't heard of it, it's totally fine. Introductory question. Here's a question. It'll come up on the screen. How is your soul? Now, before you answer it too much, let me maybe expand a little bit of the definition of what your soul is from a biblical perspective. Soul, your soul, here's a definition. It'll come on the screen. It's the breath of life. It's the seat of the affections. Part of when God talks about our soul includes, by the way, the word is psuche. The root of the word is how we, is part of where we get our word psych or psychology. So to adequately answer the question, how's your soul? It's not just about whatever your this part. It also includes your psychology. So how's your psychology today? How many of you know that complicates the question? It feels like it, right? Because sometimes you think, oh, I think my soul's pretty good. Unless you look into my brain, oh, no, things are can get different up there. Like an example from my life, this last year, we celebrated, it was 2023, we celebrated the birth of our first grandchild, Judah. Here's a report on what Judah looks like these days. Love it. So we've got all this celebration in our heart during last year. And we also, same year, we also experienced the pain of losing what would have been our second grandchild. Her name was Bella, but she died late in the pregnancy. And so then they had to go through the giving birth. And that was like hard, right? Some of you have experienced that. So in the midst of last year, we had this amazing joy and this pretty hard tragedy. And if you'd have asked me probably for at least 3 months, probably midsummer last year through September, maybe a little longer, if you'd have said, "Hey, Mark, how's your soul?" And if we'd have had time to really talk, I probably would have said, "I don't know." Now, was my heart okay? But in my mind, there was some struggles with that whole thing. Does that make sense? You talk about your soul, including your mind, that can get complicated. Sometimes it's not as big of a difficult thing. I regularly, I'll ask this, do you ever get significantly frustrated with other human beings? You ever do these kind of weird casual prayers like, "Lord, do you want someone to go punch them? Because I could probably obey you in that one if you wanted me to. I could figure that out," right? Like, because they'll just be doing something, and so if how's your soul? Well, I don't know. Right now, I'm asking the Lord if I can go punch someone, so I'm not sure it's great. And then others of us in our psyche, our psychology, that part of our soul, have faced really, really difficult struggles. When I was 16-ish, don't remember exactly, about 16, one evening my mom came into my bedroom and she said, "Mark, I'm going to have to take your father to the hospital." I'm like, you know, what's going on? And so went into my parents' bedroom. And my dad was sitting in a super humble posture on the edge of the bed with his hands over his head. And he looked up at me with tears streaming down his face. And he said, "Mark, I can't do it anymore." And that was the evening that I became aware. My dad had been struggling secretly for months with anxiety and depression. Like, it had been going on a long time, but he had hid it, you know, from all of the kids. And so then he ended up going into the hospital for, weeks or months. And do you know what I mean? So some of us have experienced those kinds of things. So how's your soul? I think we can all admit this psychology part of our soul is a challenge culturally. A lot of us are not doing great. I could hit you with a lot of statistics, but this is the one that struck me the most. Before the age of 18, 1 in 5 of our upcoming generations have or are experiencing a seriously debilitating mental illness. That's not just a bad day. That's the kind that messes up your life for seasons. Some good news in here, which is nice to have some good news in here. God has a track record of caring and helping. A couple Bible verses. I'm so glad this Matthew 11 verse is here. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." Goes on to say, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." And says, "And you will find rest for your souls." Suke includes our minds. In Philippians, the Bible teaches, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And it talks about, "And the peace of God, which will guard," look at this, "your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus." So hold those thoughts. We're in this series called Battlegrounds. Life is worth fighting for. And today, and also this next Tuesday, we're doing an extended kind of a service, teachy workshop thing this Tuesday. We're going to talk about how do we fight for our mental, emotional health. So just a little plug for Tuesday. At the end, I'll tell you more specifics of what we're doing. But basically from 7 to 9, we cannot here in 30 minutes adequately dive into some biblical principles that might help us in our soul and in our psychology. So on Tuesday, myself and Pastor Andrew, we've got some things planned to try to be helpful on Tuesday. We're expecting quite a few people will be there for that. And you're welcome to be there for that. Today we're going to begin with the first section of Psalm 23, which we'll also focus on Tuesday night, but we're just going to look at a little bit today. Here's the background. The writer's name is David. Just so you know, he grew up being a shepherd. It's part of his life. And in this psalm, he's going to talk about God as our shepherd. David probably knows a little bit about anxiety or emotional stress anyway. He grew up the youngest of 8 boys, so that may not have been perfect every day. He, even before he became a king, he had stressors in life because fairly often the king that was there before David would like attack David and threaten his life. After he became king, he was king for, I think, 40 years. And so just the stress, I'm sure, or challenge of running a kingdom, that would be a thing. But in the midst of all that, David has a real tendency to stay connected and know and love God, and he knows God as his shepherd. And so from that, he writes in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul," which is why we picked this. Let's read it again. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul." Title of the talk is Fighting for Our Mental Health, and we're going to look at a couple things I see here, basically strategies to have a soul that is refreshed. Let me pray. I pray for today. for Tuesday, mostly God. Well, we've got some principles here, but in the midst of it all, I ask that you would encounter us in such a way that our souls would be and experience the refreshment that only you can give us. I pray especially for those of us who might be in the middle of an emotional or mental challenge right now. And we probably, if that's us, we would just confess, help, Lord, we need help. And so I'll pray for the next 15 or 20 minutes to be helpful, mostly because you'll help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Two ideas from the text. The first thing, if you want to write something down, is this. A refreshed soul has a firm connection, that's the part you can write down, a firm connection to the shepherd. Firm connection. Kind of the topic sentence for the entirety of Psalm 23 is this declaration, the Lord is my shepherd. And there's a consistency through the whole psalm, this reference to like the benefit of the closeness of having God as your shepherd. So, right, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me, he is connected to quiet waters. He, who? My shepherd. He refreshes my soul. The rest of the psalm has similar phrasing. He guides me along the right paths. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you, he, is with me. He prepares a table before me. You anoint my head with oil. There's this pattern of this sheep that is in a blessed place. If you were to say, why is it going so well? It would be, oh, because of my shepherd. I thought of this in a peculiar way. If there was another sheep, if I don't know if you can picture this, another sheep picturing this sheep who's in a good place, and kind of envying this sheep's position, and had the guts to go up and ask this sheep in their sheep voice, how are they doing so well? It might go something like this. Hey. How did you find this green pasture? That's my sheep voice. You get that? And then like Phil the sheep would go, oh, it's because of my shepherd. That's the way it would work. This guy, you know, the writer here, David, he knows the secret. You know, like, hey, wow, these waters are quiet. Yeah, it's because of God, my shepherd. Dude. How did you find this righteous path? My shepherd showed me. You like this, Braden? I can't do any more. It's hurting my throat. All right. But then, like in the other one, this is the one that struck me as much as any. That like if the one sheep came and said, "I'm going to do it one more time." How are you not afraid in this super dark valley? Like, how are you not scared to death in this valley that's super dark? How are you not afraid? It's because I'm with my shepherd. That's the reality of the psalm. So much of this is connected to the presence of God. You can write this in. The blessed sheep and the good shepherd are inseparable. That connection is key. It's core. It's core to this experience. It's core to the restoration of the soul. It reminded me of John 15. 5, where Jesus is teaching, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. The striking phrase at the end is, apart from me, disconnected from me, you can do nothing. And we fail if we don't realize the benefit of staying connected to the Father. with Jesus as our shepherd, with God as our shepherd in this close community, so many things can happen and be transformed in our life. I'm watching it happen in a new friend of mine. His name's Justin. He became a Christian. I think he committed his life a year or two ago, but we're having some conversations, and here's what he's begun to do. Faithfully, like remarkably faithfully, he is spending time with God, reading the Bible, and being with God in the morning and at night. But like, I'm watching him, I'm like, oh wait, you're really doing this. And the last time we met, we were just talking about life, and I wrote down some of the words that he's using to describe how his life is changing. And here's some of what he said. He said, the change is, he used the word drastic. I wasn't prodding these things. He's like, it's just drastic. He said, he was talking about anxiety and the reduction of anxiety and stress. The next thing, I love this. He said, it's hard to explain. He also added at the end, he said, I was an evil dude. I don't know if he's an evil dude. But what he's seeing is this transformation, and do I know for sure? No. But what I'm observing from a distance, what's the key to the transformation? It is, he is beginning to walk in the presence of God, connected to the shepherd. And the shepherd is doing these things in his life. And he's actually in the room. Justin's right over there. Is that right? Hey, buddy. How are you? It's really cool. Is it not cool? Justin, it's cool to see. And for me to just watch, and I'm like, God's just doing cool things. Is he perfect now? Yes, Justin is perfect now. It's no problem now. Because we all still are on this journey with the shepherd. But it's really cool. It's connected to being with God, with the shepherd. So to kind of finish out this point, how am I doing it walking with God? That'll affect your psychology. Walking with. I was thinking in terms, God does not just want to be, I was thinking of, you know, because our lives, many of our lives are so driven by our phones. Can I just tell you that God should not be used as an app where just when we go, oh shoot, it's Thursday and things are bad. There's a better place, a more transformative place, where he is just always around. And I thought of, this may not land with you, but it was weird. So we sometimes, it's easy to just use him as an app. We should treat God a little bit more like he's our phone. Because have you ever had the feeling when you leave the house and you forgot your phone and you're like, yeah, I'm going back? Like, no, like you can't function. Is that just me? No, yeah, you're like, some of you right now are checking, like, where's my phone? A better posture with God would be, Lord, I don't want to go anywhere without you. I just don't need a little part of you that I punch when it, right? But to dwell with God will affect our lives. Hey, before we leave this point, we're going to do an exercise. It's kind of a pause and be with God exercise, all right? Here's what's going to happen. If you're online, we're going to go black for a minute because we're going to listen to a song that's got some copyright stuff. Here in the room, we're going to listen to a song that has been helping my soul for at least the last 3 months. It's part of my regular, most mornings, I listen to this song. And the song is titled, I think its title is Make Room, or I Will Make Room for You. The words are simple, but I'll share them with you so you don't have to work hard at listening. Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown, this is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie, every doubt, this is my surrender. And then the chorus, which you'll hear several times, is, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. So it is this connecting place with God. So right now, your assignment is try to forget about the people around you. I would encourage you, if you can, just close your eyes. Just pretend like, okay, me and God, and try to connect with Him. The lights are going to go down a little bit. We're going to spend about three minutes just listening to the song and trying to make room for God, the Good Shepherd. Let's do that. Some of our emotional lives would probably be significantly better if we just like did that all day, two or three times a day. I just had a picture. I've had that song ministering to me now for a long time, and there's this possibility in the midst of that is this exchange, especially if you say to the Lord, wait, you can do whatever you want. I am sure that there are times that the Good Shepherd would come and say, I'm so glad you're giving me permission. So see that one thing you got in your life? Yeah, I'm going to take that. And other things he would go, oh, hey, here, this is what I want to do today. Here, I want to give you this. Does that make sense? So, time with the shepherd. Powerful, powerful in our emotional lives and refreshing our souls. So, a refreshed soul has a firm connection to the shepherd. We'll hit one more thing. A refreshed soul recognizes their met needs. We're going to have to go pretty quick on this. Their met needs. David writes, the Lord is my shepherd. He says, I lack nothing. I think it's good clarification. He doesn't say, I have everything. I think some of this points to the provision of God. The other part of this on his part is he's not focused on perhaps what he doesn't have. He's feeling full. Oh, I'm not longing or missing anything. And I think some of that is a mentality. Which isn't easy. Example, Thursday morning, this last Thursday, I woke up in the morning, life was pretty good. I had a good night's sleep, was getting up about 7, got out of bed pretty well, had made coffee. Look, I had got a warm house, I had slept well, I got hot coffee, life is good. And then I went to my little place. I usually sit on our little front porch, and I was going to go out and listen to I Will Make Room for You. I was going to go out and do this, did I? And I went out and sat on the front porch, and instead, side note, can we agree that the February weather, for the most part, has been pretty much amazing? It has been, by the way, this is the warmest February on record. We've had, right? It's been like amazing. And sunshine, we've seen this. Thursday morning, it was drizzling at my house. And the weather had shifted back to cold. I took a picture. And I was on the other side of the camera thinking thoughts like this. I can't do it, Lord. I can't go back to winter. Does that, right? So here's the point. If I'm not careful, by the way, my life, it was good. But if I'm not careful, I'm going to let the one thing I lack, which is the sun, I'm going to let that rule my emotional life. And that's tragic. And this is not just something that we deal with, getting focused on the one thing that's not going our way. There's a parable in Matthew 20. It's called the parable of the workers in the vineyard. And I'm going to try to paint a picture of this pretty quickly. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. You with me? He agreed to pay them, the workers, a denarius, one I think is a silver coin, for the day, and sent them into the vineyard. So this is probably 6 a.m. This is how it worked back then. The town square was the employment agency. If you didn't have a regular job, you'd go to the town square. And then anybody that was looking for workers that day could come and go, hey, you guys looking for work? Yeah, we're looking for work. Okay, go to the vineyard, 6 a.m., go to the vineyard and work. So these guys went. But the landowner, at least on this day, regularly went back and walked through the town square again. So at 9 o'clock, he came back and there were some more people. He'd say, hey, you guys looking for work? Yes, sir. Go work in the vineyard. He did it at 9, 12, 3 p.m., and even at 5 p.m. The workday wasn't over at 5. 5 p.m., he's still walking. There were still some stragglers. Yeah, I'd like to have a job. He's, you guys still look? Okay, go to the vineyard and work for me. So when, here's the twist. When it came time to get paid, here's what he did. He paid them all the same one denarii. So pick it up in verse 9. The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, so these are the ones that have been working 12 hours, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. And can I sum up part of the rest of the story? They get emotionally twisted up in this sense of, that's not fair. This is not fair. Wait a minute. I've been working for this long. Some of you are twisted up right now because, oh, I could say I'd do the same. Right there, they're like, this is not, and it messes up their mind. Now, if we step back just a little bit and we think through this, look, they got up in the morning. They had a job that day. They worked that day. At the end of the day, they didn't have to wait for a pay. They got it. They got their money that day. They've got money to go home. They have a family. They can do dinner, right? That's not a bad day. But instead of feeling any, I might be stretching it a little bit, but instead of feeling the pleasure of that, all they're feeling is gypped. And if we're not careful, that is an easy thing to happen to us. When we've got all kinds of good reasons to celebrate and have joy, but instead the devil or our lack of mental discipline will focus on the gypped, what we feel is the gypped part of life. And you know the gypped thing? And sometimes that's not 3 minutes. If we're not careful, then we run that reel, right? We get home, and then we tell our families how gypped we feel, and then they feel gypped. And then we get up the next morning, and we go, did you know what happened to me yesterday? The landowner didn't pay me, right? This one little moment of what we would say is unfair can get dig in and ruin how long of our lives. Sometimes we may have people in the room right now, you're still feeling pain of something that was unfair like 16 years ago. And you just told somebody again last week about what happened to you when, you know, you only got a small piece of cake and it was your birthday. And there was the wrong cake. And so I'm in counseling now because I got the wrong cake on my 8th birthday. And so that's why I'm, this happens. Okay, here's a fill in the blank. Unbridled material disappointments can ruin our mental space. So this is just going to bring us, I'm going to invite us to live and to go to a place of maturity that not everyone will go. And it's to focus on the good things in your life. It's okay to acknowledge some of the difficulties. But man, don't live there. And the writer of the text, he pens, I lack nothing. Wrap it up. I made this up. But it's coming up on the screen. I'd invite you to live something like this. I made up a name for it, but I do think that it's a principle. It's the plenty perspective. It's the decision or discipline of appreciating what we have rather than dwelling on what we lack. That's a great place to live. And I'm going to finish with two hints regarding this. The first one is this: don't let fairness rule your emotional life. I'm sorry to break your bubble. Life ain't fair. It's just, it's not. You know, I see different people with different skills, and there are times I think, wow, you got skills. Why didn't I get those skills? It's because life's not fair. But by the way, there could be somebody look at you and feel in the same way because they go, oh, you got, does that mean, life's not fair. By the way, in the end, we can count on the justice of God. Heaven's going to be really cool. This earth ain't so much. Life's not fair. You've had things that have happened to you that were super hard. Why did that happen? Because, okay. Don't let fairness. Oh, I'm going to go on one little, oh, nah. Parents, parent your kids so they don't get disrupted over fairness stuff. If you're trying to train your kids that life is fair, you're wrong. Life can be great. Life can be great. Life will not be fair. Okay, enough about that. And the last thing is enjoy what God has put in your hands, in our hands. There may be an exception or two in the room, but most of our lives, if we really look at all the things that we have, we got plenty to have a good day. So Tuesday, the plan for Tuesday is Pastor Andrew and I, we're going to talk more from Psalm 23. Got about five more principles. We're also going to share a video of testimonies from people in our church who've experienced what I would call miraculous mental emotional healing, where in a moment God fixed an emotional challenge. And then we're going to also have time for prayer. Our hope is that God will break through, do some really cool things. If you're interested in that, that's Tuesday night. Why don't you stand? We have plenty of time between these two services, and so if you have a prayer need, there's a group of people over here that will pray with you. Maybe you realized you're stuck because of some unfair thing that happened to you last week and it's still bugging you, or maybe it's 2 years ago, and today's going to be the last day you're like, oh, I just need prayer because I'm done feeling the sting of that. Prayer can help with those things. Or if it's just anything else going on in your life, you never know when God will do something miraculous when we pray. Let's close. God, thanks for this time. I'm grateful for your word. I'm grateful for a church family where we can try to work a lot of this stuff out together. It's way better to try to do it with other people than all by ourselves. I'm thankful for your spirit that I'm pretty sure for many of us has prodded us or poked us or encouraged us.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We pray you were impacted by this message. God bless, and see you next time.
And thanks for being a good person.